5:35. So 9/11 just happened, the anniversary of 9/11, and you start reflecting, you start wondering about overseas. We hear in Afghanistan, things are not going well. We've had experts say we're in worse shape than we were. Iraq, what's happening there? We've got Dr. Michael Rubin on, Middle East analyst specializing in Iraq. How strong is al-Qaeda, Dr. Rubin, at this point?
Al-Qaeda is on the rebound, especially in the Sunni areas of western Iraq. They might have a couple hundred active al-Qaeda folks, but the issue is that Iraqis are famous fence sitters, and if they see al-Qaeda gaining strength, they're jumped to their side of the fence.
Yeah, and I'm reading about certain cities where already the guys who had power are no longer in power because they're scared of al-Qaeda, and they've already lost their followers and any of their currency.
Well, we have to remember that when General Petraeus implemented the surge, it was as much a psychological as military strategy. People joined us because they knew that we would be there. As soon as we withdraw, then suddenly we're not the strongest players on the block anymore. Osama bin Laden had a famous phrase that Arabs like to side with the strong horse. We're no longer the strong horse.
Speaking of that, where is he? Where is bin Laden?
Hey, if I knew, I'd be $25 million richer. But a lot of people say that he's in the mountains of the frontier region of Pakistan.
And why is this so undoable? Why can we not find him?
Basically because we are in Afghanistan, but in Pakistan, we don't have the troops there, and it doesn't seem like the Pakistani government has the same interests we do when it comes to national security.
Kind of shocking that in all this time, we cannot find this one guy. How powerful is he? Is still he the poobah, the head of the whole deal?
Symbolically, he's probably a lot more powerful than he is in terms of day-to-day tactics, but certainly he is still the grand poobah, and he's rebuilt his cadre of lieutenants. Their key thing right now is trying to get safe haven. That's what their theoreticians write about, and that's what we need to deny them.
Talking to Dr. Michael Rubin, Middle East analyst, Ted Koppel, who used to do Nightline, wrote this piece that I found kind of interesting. I wanted to see your take on it. Basically, he said after 9/11, we did the right thing as far as our response and as far as our return of force, and then we went overboard. Instead of creating some agencies and not talking about it, just doing it and saying we have them in place and we will respond with force when necessary, we build up all these organizations. We spent hundreds of billions of dollars. We went into Afghanistan. We went into Pakistan. We went into continued sending troops, more and more troops over to Iraq. We overdid it. And the Muslim world, and especially Osama bin Laden, sitting there laughing, saying, look what I managed to do with 19 bombers. I got this country completely verklempt. They're all over the place. They are now stretched so thin that I kind of got puppets over there. I can do almost what I want with minimal dollars and minimal fighters.
I think that Ted Koppel might be overdoing it a little bit. Certainly, there's not a debate about whether we should have gone in. And the whole issue is about clear, hold, and build on territory. The question we have isn't about the clear and the hold. The question we have and what those billions of dollars was for was the build. But the fact of the matter is, because we were in Iraq, because we've been in Afghanistan, it really has been a huge blow to al-Qaeda. The question is whether we're going to withdraw and allow al-Qaeda to bounce back.
All right, now as far as Afghanistan is concerned, are we really there because we're concerned about nuclear in Pakistan? Are we holding line there so that the wrong people don't get those 60 or 80 or 100 warheads?
You strip away the mission creep, and the reason we're there is because whenever there's a vacuum in Afghanistan, then bad things have happened to us. Now the issue is whether or not we're on the right track to build up the Afghan National Army to the proper strength. That's another debate.
All right, but by the way, when Hussein was in power, he kept talking about weapons of mass destruction to keep Iran and the enemies at bay, everybody else at bay. Turns out he didn't have them. What happens with Iran now? How active did they become?
Well, Iran's nuclear weapons program started in the 1980s before our war in Iraq, but Iran is becoming increasingly active, not just in the region. If you look at the original Farsi, what they talk about is themselves in terms of being a pan-regional power, active in Senegal and West Africa, active in Venezuela, and not just in the Middle East.
Do we, by the way, overseas in the Middle East, are they looking at America at war with terrorism, or do they look at us that we're at war with Islam?
It depends who you talk to. Certainly the bad guys try to drive up the propaganda, the psychological issue that we're at war with Islam. But the fact of the matter is we have far more allies in the Middle East than we have adversaries. And every time people say, hey, these guys are going to riot in the streets against us, they come out into the streets en masse for about a week, and then it peters out, And push comes to
Watch
stuff.
The
These
name.
Guys want to live in the United States, and they want the United States as a model. They don't see al-Qaeda as a model.
All right, we're about to send billions over to Saudi Arabia to arm up, sell them a lot of arms. I'm talking to Dr. Michael Rubin. One of the interesting things you do, if I'm correct here, is you go to military bases in the U.S. and Europe before they deploy the military, Marines, Army, and you talk to the soldiers before they go to Iraq and Afghanistan. What do you tell them? How do you prep them?
Well, I talk much more specific about issues relating to history, about historical narratives, how these guys think, how they process information, and also about what other neighboring states are doing in the sandbox, because when they do their training, oftentimes it's about what they hope to achieve. What I'm trying to do is tell them what other guys are doing in the sandbox so that they can make plans for interference in their mission.
Got it. And are you hopeful about our situation in the Middle East?
I'm not. I wouldn't say I'm a defeatist, but I'm a pessimist. I always see the problems, and then my job is to try to help find solutions, not throw up my hands.
So what's your solution? What would you say the solution would be?
Ultimately, look, there's two things. Number one, we got to fill the vacuum we already talked about. Number two, there's always this dichotomy between these autocrats, these dictators on one hand, and these radical Islamists on the other. I still believe that we got to do a lot more with good governance, building up a liberal alternative in the middle, because the worst fear for both the autocrats and the theocrats are the liberals, and the autocrats and the theocrats feed off each other constantly.
But how long does it take? How much longer do we stay over there? How much troops do we commit? How much money?
We don't necessarily need to stay over there to promote good governance. We got to stop buying into this dichotomy where the autocrats say you got to support us because otherwise you get the theocrats and vice versa, and ultimately, you got to start somewhere.
How do you do it? How do you do that?
Take Egypt, for example. Egypt is a military dictatorship. The main opposition is the Muslim Brotherhood. What we need to be doing is building up labor unions. We got to be building up liberal political parties, giving them some of the funding they need to get started. We got to put pressure on the autocrats so they stop throwing these dissidents in jail. When we have put pressure on them, it's worked. It's just we have short-term attention syndrome.
You make it sound easy. Dr. Michael Rubin. Scholar at the American Enterprise Institute, always a pleasure to have you on.
Thank you.
A lot of insight. Boy, doesn't he sounds like he should be the guy. He should just be in charge of policy.
He's got all the answers.
And the checkbook and go for it. Seems to know what's going on. Talk Radio 790 KAVC.